It is time to bring in David Tarachuk with the Media Beat. And David joins us every Friday, but you can also hear him on, of course, our 12 noon block, which runs from 12 and 12:30 and into 1 o'clock with the news and various shows. We also have David on rebroadcast on the weekend. And you can find David anytime you'd like at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on the Media Beat. David, of course, has his own website, themediabeat.us. He's a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. And after all that, I hope Skype works and he's with us. Good morning, David.
I am with you.
All right.
Coming in loud and clear, I hope, from the great state of Texas, the capital of that state, the great city of Austin.
You are in Austin, Texas. And, you know, a funny thought occurred to me this morning, and then I'll let you take over. Can you imagine if we can get Putin in on this meeting in Korea with the leader of Korea and with Donald
Trump?
Well,
who knows where it's going to be? An undetermined place so far, right?
We could get them all together and lock them up. And it just, it was a dream.
And begin administering drugs?
That's right.
Psychotropic drugs,
I really did have that dream that happened. But then
I can understand why.
I was very tired and confused when I got home yesterday. But anyway, so I'll leave that. I'll leave my dream hanging out there and let...
Well, I think you and so many other people have that dream.
Okay, unfortunately, it's a bitter dream.
What is so bizarre about the dream is how it, and I marvel at this. As a matter of fact, I have a question that is totally on a tangent.
You don't say.
And here is the question.
I never think of the word tangent and the name Jill in the same sentence. It's interesting.
Start.
It's scary. It's scary, David.
Neither one of you is going to know the answer to this question.
Oh, come on. I'll make one up. Go on.
What happened to Luke Russert?
What happened to who?
Luke Russert.
He's gone. He has been slowly filtered out of the system where he works for NBC, but it's not like it was. He was kicked down to a correspondent to cover the House, and they haven't been going to him very much lately.
Like how long lately?
I would think about 2 months.
David, is that
you? Yeah, low profile Russert, yes.
Okay.
Unlike his dad, who always seemed to enjoy a very high profile at the network, and different outlets from the network, too. I, for one, certainly do not, I'm afraid.
So what's the answer now? Tell us.
No, I don't know, but that was the tangent, because I was thinking about his father. And I was thinking about, and I'm going to lead right back to your dream, all right? I was thinking about whether his father, in his coverage, would have subscribed to basically everybody in journalism thinking one thing and something else entirely different happening.
Had a lot of experience of that in the last 2 years.
Right, or if along the way.
That's why journalists just do not like making predictions.
You'd think that for a group that doesn't like making predictions, they'd knock it off already.
But they do it all the time.
All the time.
Well, it's interesting because we are expected to. I mean, almost every... It's a bit like being a doctor at a cocktail party and people then telling you all their ailments. Journalists do get assaulted with what's going to happen. And I so much of the time I have to say, well, I don't know, because my job actually is to report on what has happened and try and explain it, how it happened and why it happened. But of course, human nature is what it is, and we want to know what happens next.
You know how they get around it, though? They get around it by posing the question. This is the whole thing. They pose a question to guests. Guests take off with the theory, and then the host joins in on the theory. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's Fox, doesn't matter whether it's ABC, doesn't matter whether it's NBC or MSNBC. The only one who really steers clear of this, really, with their news, is CBS. They don't. They just don't get into that type of babble.
CBS is quietly not babbling, and it's pretty interesting.
I mean, their morning show is a little babbly, but still not like everybody else.
And their CBS.
Every morning show has to be a little babbly. That seems to be the absolute rule in broadcasting, except for Your Good Selves.
Oh no, I babble. I'm sorry. I'm a babbler. I'm a babbler from way back.
You're a babbler, and I'm the anti-babbler, and I so I.
No, but see, you're right though.
No, CBS, but Joe, you're the consummate babbler.
No, you are right, though. The CBS does try and keep itself in the realm of hard news and hard analysis, too. I mean, it's not as if they veer away from, you know, expressing some sort of interpretive take on news. But they do not go in for the wild speculative stuff quite as much as the other networks. That's quite palpable.
So my question is twofold. Has it always been this wildly speculative, but just
of course not.
But just
not on air, at least. I mean, there used to be things called broadcast standards, and there used to be a general convention in journalism that you don't speculate wildly. I mean, that was almost a given. Certainly, in the realm of, you know, what would perhaps over piously be called serious journalism. But of course, the gates are wide open now for that, and it's hard to avoid theoretical and rhetorical speculation.
But what are the thought leaders? You'll forgive me for that term in this realm. No, because everything is all so follow the leader. I think one of the funniest things was, I'm sure you saw yesterday's MIT study, where. Where they concluded that a lie is, 70% more likely to be shared on social media. Now, that's a shock. And the truth
it's
takes...
It's one of those... The study reveals...
Yes.
Yeah,
the truth takes...
something that we all know already, too well.
And when you pick yourself up off the floor, you'll also know that the truth takes 6 times longer than fake news to be seen by 1,500 people. Well, no kidding. Because
yes, what I did not get from my cursory reading of that is how long this study took. I suspect that researchers were applying themselves to this for a long time before they come to this very hard, considered conclusion.
Right, since we've never, you know, it's like there's never been any thought. I remember the first thing, this goes back to long before radio, but it was when I was writing horoscopes and somebody just...
Talk about wild speculation.
That's right. Who was it?
At your pursuit, I'm sorry.
No. Who was? I think it was Galbraith. The only thing that, I'm pretty sure it was. The only thing that makes the purpose of economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable.
Yeah, J.K. Galbraith, a genius of the pithy remark.
I always liked that. It just reminds you, you know, got that? Economic forecasting makes astrology look respectable. Take that.
It's in the realm of lies, and damned statistics. Right? Lies, damned lies, and statistics. Right.
Right. So speaking of statistics, no, really and truly. So this person just really didn't like the way that I wrote. Didn't. And was blistering in their complaint. And I was, you know, let's say mildly taken aback. And it was at that time that someone said, well, listen, you know, if anyone likes, people complain very easily. But anytime someone actually says something good about something, that's, in the equation, sort of multiply that by 10. Because that suggests, really, if one positive is worth, and I'm not sure what the number is, but it seems like 10 negatives.
Sure.
And that, of course, is missing in any, I mean, just completely absent in any, seems like it's completely absent in most short form. I'm not talking about long form, but in most short form dissemination of information at this point.
Well, it's a given, isn't it, in the tabloid world, which, of course, is in the business of short snippets all the time, almost by definition. It's pictorial and it's brief. But in that case, you know, the
Yes.
The mottos of that particular end of the profession are very clear. You know the one, if it bleeds, it leads. It's not a realm of positivity at all. It's a realm of disaster, horror, shock. Those are the qualities that it deals in. Because human nature being what it is, we do like to stare at train wrecks.
Quite right, except that now that you've had everybody just sort of deadened because they've been, my favorite word, sharing information, sort of like day trading. I always go back to this. You know, everybody's become their own curator of information.
Our own publisher.
And their own publisher. And that makes, that just wreaks havoc.
It didn't go that way initially, but very fast, the internet, and coinciding as it did with the plethora of 24-hour cable news channels too, you ended up with a mad rush towards the Wild West. I mean, it wasn't the Wild West to begin with, but it very rapidly became the Wild West. And only now, I think, you're beginning to see around the digital universe a beginning preference. It's not a preference yet, but it's a tendency, which I want to applaud every time I see it, and let's hope it continues, for a longer form reflection on events and news developments. We're not entirely now at the mercy of the instant reaction only, and that's to be applauded.
Right.
I mean, it's still outweighed, of course, by the mad rush of the gathering swine, and pace counts for more than accuracy, and it certainly counts more than sober reflection.
But it is definitely there's definitely room. In fact, that it's noticeable, and I think that is that a change is afoot. And of course, since journalism fails so miserably in the leadership department, I mean, it's always playing, oh, this happened, oh, this happened. No bloody clue about what's actually happening in front, but great with 3/4 of the way through the parade, talking about the uniforms, and the tripping the drum majorette or whatever that there are a lot of companies that were based, that were given a lot of money and access that are no longer. I mean, they're just disappearing at a clip. The sort of the subspecies of news dissemination. You can definitely see a consolidation taking place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, consolidation is happening in just about every industry, and journalism is no exception.
Right. And sorry to put my opinion out there, but it's just like in this instance, not before time, because unless you regain, if you will, control over the information flow, you're just toast. And I don't know. It could be that will not happen, but I do see.
I hope you're not putting that forward as an argument for fewer and fewer people in control of the media. That's
Not at all. What I'm putting it, making it as an argument for, okay, kids, sit down. Let's restore the editing layer, and let's.
That would be welcome. I certainly agree with that.
No, that's all I'm talking about. I'm not trying to put it in the hands of a few. I've always been. An independent anarchist when it comes to that, and that therefore Robin Hood Radio. I mean, essentially. No, seriously.
Yes. I was trying to describe the name of your station to some people here for the South by Southwest Festival, which is, as you know, why I am in Austin, Texas. And I said, well, Robin Hood Radio is that very distinctive radio station, named appropriately, because what it does is steal from the rich and give to the poor. And people actually stopped for a moment and wondered if I was serious or not. But independent anarchist is quite a nice way of for you to put it. I appreciate that.
And that has been the intent all along. But what I'm trying to say is, there needs to be some responsibility about the quality of the information. This goes way back. All right, this is a Michael Bloomberg story. Like him or dislike him, he used to, and I don't know whether they still do, but insist that his correspondents, the reporters at Bloomberg News, called back if there was ever a complaint. You know, so somebody called them and said blah blah blah.
And some good newsrooms maintain that attitude. If you get a complaint, you must take it seriously. I mean, that's a given.
So one of the people
not
that...
easy, of course, with the speed at which it all comes and the volume at which it is pumped out and received, of course, by the listeners, viewers, and readers. So I'm not going to say that it happens all the time, because clearly it does not. But the standard policy in what I would call, in my slightly pious way, I guess, the serious end of journalism, complaints are taken seriously, because, you know, without them, where would we be? We wouldn't have the corrective that we need.
So I...
You know, it's funny, because when I started off from broadcasting, I'm talking about complaints. I always thought complaints were just a pain in the ass, to be honest with you, and they used to anger me.
I would rush to the phones to take complaints. That was my most entertaining point of the day. After our broadcast had gone out, the phones all lit up, and I ran to answer them.
About 5 years in, though, somebody wrote a complaint, and it was a full page of handwriting, and at the end of it, they put this, and it was, he should be taken off the air for a month, crossed out. He should be taken off the air for a year, crossed out. Actually, he should never be allowed to broadcast again. But I learned my lesson, because what I did was out of bounds. And then complaints also became almost like critiques on my work and way to fix it. You don't take them all, but probably 90% of the complaints when you do something like that.
It's probably worth listening. But Jill had a story as well. You were about to start.
My story is that I rang up one of these kids who had just didn't know. He was doing a report about economics back too, and he said something about the Luddites, and, well, I don't know what the Luddites are, but blah 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 blah. So I was compelled,
at a time of instant tariffs against imported steel, someone doesn't feel the need to know what a Luddite is.
Well, this was many, many years ago, but it was a similar, at the time, it was import. You should have known. If you were going to use it, then you need to know. And certainly no one needed the aside, and that was my point. So I rang up this person, and I said, you know, he had to call me back, and I said, listen, you know, if you're going to use, you should probably find out what a Luddite is. I was pretty nice. Anyway, fast forward.
Well, had he found it out in the meantime, that would have been the smart thing to do, I guess.
Well, who knows, but he had not. But I just found out, this is 30 years on, he's decided to run for Congress.
Oh, very appropriate.
I'm terrified.
I'm absolutely. He's running for is that venerable party, the Know Nothings.
Huh? He was a
Democrat.
It wasn't Anthony Weiner, was it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
That was funny, but to the best of my knowledge, he never worked for Bloomberg. However,
no, I suspect he would never have been hired.
Exactly. So the long and the short being, you know, there. Something that often is not sufficiently encouraged in this profession is that there's history, and your favorite word, context, and it's very bizarre.
Well, hard to work without context, but a lot of people do seem to try and do it day by day by day.
So in the last, Marshall's going to show me three minutes.
We get three and a half minutes.
Okay, what's going on? Anything, you know, ahead of the so-called curve happening out there?
Well, here in South by Southwest, yes. I mean, it's the festival that brings together three festivals, film, music, put them in the right order, how it started. It started with music, then added film, and now has added for a good many years now the internet, what they call interactive media. All of this is always ahead of the curve, but it's not always easy to tell ahead of time what's ahead of the curve and what's just sort of smartly named. They go in for a lot of very arcane and witty titles for the sessions of discussion that they have. And there's a lot of coalescence between the different disciplines too. Convergence is the favored word at South by Southwest. So there's a lot of sessions that will actually combine those three strands. That's been going on for several years now, but it's being heightened at this point in 2018. But it's interesting to see just from the the bald sort of printouts of or the laying out in informational form what the main contents are, what the highlights are of the coming days, 2 weeks in total. If you just scan, you see that there's a lot of very, I would say, well-established names converging on Austin, well-known names internationally as well as nationally. I mean, some more famous than others. What popped up to me as I looked down the list was Bill de Blasio, my hometown mayor from New York, Sadiq Khan, the mayor of my one-time hometown, London, the first ever Muslim to be the mayor of a major Western city. And then there's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bernie Sanders. So it seems like a convocation of geeks, this event. But as I say, there are some pretty mainstream and well-known names coming here. But the interesting thing is that those are all men. And this year's South by Southwest kicked off just at the same time as the International Women's Year. Women's Day, rather, and of course that's something that should be year-round. And there are, this time in South by Southwest, one interesting difference. There's a very palpable shift in the quality or the nature of the range of panels that are set up all over the city, in the main conference center and all around the town. Panels to discuss, listen to this, sexism, harassment, gender parity. I think that's what we used to call sexual equality, right? So yes, the Me Too movement has had its impact on South by Southwest, and I'm looking forward to, you know, a lot of, you know, the corrective, especially to the corrective that's necessary in the tech industry. That's a cry that's been going up here a lot of the time, has been for many years at this annual fest. But I think this time we've come to that thing that journalists call the tipping point. And I hope so very much that is the case.
All right.
Me too. Sorry.
Me too.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.
And of course, you can hear David right here Friday live on Robinhood Radio, and then on the weekends and during the week, and also at robinhoodradio.com on demand.